Okay, I think we're ready to get started. The panel is e-books, e-publishing, and e-piracy. My name is Karen McCullough. I'm the author of 8 published novels, 4 of which have been print published, 4 of which have been electronically published. And we'll talk more about my books as we go on. So I'm going to ask my 2 fellow panelists to introduce themselves, and then I have a PowerPoint presentation on electronic publishing in general that I've put together, but I would encourage you, if you have questions at any point, feel free to just, you know, jump up and ask your questions, and we'll go from there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Ann Crispin. I write as A.C. Crispin. I have never published electronically, and there's only one thing of mine that's available on the internet, which is a free essay that I wrote on creating believable characters that I offer for my students. And I have a somewhat more jaundiced view of electronic publishing because I'm a novelist. I know people can make money with electronic publishing using it as for niche and print-on-demand publishing for nonfiction books. But at this point, I haven't seen too many people make real money, like, you know, having to support themselves as a writer with e-publishing fiction. I'm the author of 20 books, and I have had a considerable amount of experience with e-piracy in that I formed the committee that SFWA now has to track and monitor e-piracy, which is a growing concern to writers.
Hi, I'm Kuyu Ling. I'm the associate publisher for Ballantine Books and Delray Books. We're New York-based publisher of both mainstream and science fiction and fantasy books, and e-books for our company, which is also under my direction. So we represent sort of the publishers, and we can talk a little bit about what kind of things we're doing, what kind of things we're planning to do, and of course answer any questions you have. So I also have some show and tell too, but I don't have a presentation, but I did bring some samples of what various e-books look like, so I can show them later.
Very good. Okay. This is actually, it's not too long, and again, I encourage you, if you have questions, to stop me and, you know, ask them. I guess our first question is electronic publishing the wave of the future or tempest in a teapot? And yes, that is a real teapot, by the way. First, the plug. These are my 2 current... Hey, you know, everything's sponsored these days. These are my 2 currently available electronic novels. They're both suspense novels. They're not fantasy. Okay, first thing I'd like to know, kind of why you're here, what you hope to get out of this. How many of you are writers? Okay, good. How many of you are published writers? Good. How many of you hope to be published soon? Okay. Or again. Okay, and how many of you have you gotten the rejections that read something like, we like your writing, but we don't know how to market this story, or it's not what we're looking for right now? Okay. Next question. How many of you gone into a bookstore and been dismayed by the rows of media tie-in books? Now, first of all, let me make it clear, I'm not knocking media tie-in books. I happen to adore Buffy the Vampire Slayer myself. However, I am occasionally somewhat dismayed by the fact that the shelves of media tie-ins crowd out some of the more original stuffs. Okay, so the question is e-publishing the strategy for a new millennium? First thing I want to do is talk about what electronic publishing is. Probably this PowerPoint presentation was made for a group of, I originally did it for a group of people who didn't know anything about it. You're probably a more sophisticated audience and know more. So I'm just going to go through this very quickly. And really we want to focus on e-books. Electronic publishing of books has arguably been around since 1971, or maybe even earlier, but Project Gutenberg, in my mind, really represents the start of e-books as an idea and a move into the future. Project Gutenberg has been putting books that are in the public domain into electronic formats for over 20, 30 years now, I guess. The idea, and I think their original idea is still a very valid one, and that is to move all these texts into a format that is essentially readable in any format. In other words, it's the format of the file allows it to be read independent of media. It can be adapted to any particular media. Now, there's a lot. Electronic publishing in general covers a lot of ground, but we're going to focus on books. And for my focus is books that are published by independent publishers. Now, you'll hear the other perspective later on. There is a lot of different ways to read e-books these days. You can read it on any kind of computer media, laptops, PDAs, dedicated readers, of which I hope that there are some. Question is, do you want to e-publish your book or not? And the next thing I'm going to do is go through quickly through pros and cons and the risks and the potential rewards. So, what can electronic? This is the pros of electronic publishing. First of all, you can get published. Big one for most of us. Your book gets out to the public on the media. You get cover blurbs. You get the possibility of making money on your book. To my mind, one of the big ones is a lot of electronic publishers will take those stories that a lot of the major print publishers will not. They either don't fit their guidelines. They're too long. They're too short. They contain elements that would make it verboten. There's all sorts of reasons. Personally, I write cross-genre books that have had a hard time finding a home just because they don't fit into any particular slot. Okay, and electronic publishing also offers you more control over your product. You can control the formats you want to put it in. You control what blurbs go out there. You control cover art. Things that if you have worked with some of the bigger publishers, you don't get. And finally, your book will be available. Unlike a lot of print publishers where your book may be on the shelf, especially if it's a mass market paperback, you know that your book may be on the shelves for 6 weeks max. Then the cover gets ripped up, it disappears. And no trees will die so that your book can live. Pardon? I'm not going there. Okay, now the drawbacks. First of all, as Anne has already said, you won't make a lot of money. There are a very few people who actually have made money in electronic publishing. The name MJ Rose comes to mind.
Lip service.
Right. Mm-hmm. Most people who are electronically published are measuring their royalties by whether or not it will buy one dinner at the restaurant or two.
Most people have not made the price of a steak dinner for two off of electronic publishing. I had a fancy restaurant anyway.
I may not be most people, but I have made at least that much.
Okay.
Which one?
They gave it away.
The one he was giving away free, obviously. He didn't make a lot of money on that. But oh, the plant. The one that he... Mm-hmm.
He took that off the market. The plant mm-hmm. was discontinued, and he did not finish it because he determined that over a quarter of the readers were taking it and not mm-hmm. paying for it.
Right.
Okay, so that's what happened with the plant. And as for riding the bullet, he was paid for all the downloads. However, most of the downloads were 80% of the times the book was downloaded in the first few weeks, it was given away free.
Mm-hmm.
So King got money, but the publisher did not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, if you want to succeed at electronic publishing, you will have to promote. Now, that's not in a lot of ways different from traditional publishing, but it's probably more true because you won't have a publisher who has a promotional budget behind you to do it. You won't get a lot of respect. Same with me. Electronic publishing is still regarded as one step above self-publishing, and sometimes not even that. And you will be in among a lot of books that are on the market that are badly edited and badly written. I'm just going to be honest with you. Pardon?
How is that different from paper publishing?
probably by proportion. I would venture to say that at this point there are more badly written, badly edited electronic books than there are print books. Again, it's just reality. Okay, now you also take some risks when you do electronic publishing, and obviously piracy is one of them. And since that's one of the themes of the talk, I'd like to just address it, because obviously it does come across as everybody's mind that it's very easy to rip off any kind of electronic file. You can reproduce them very easily. You can post them on the internet. You can send them around the world. You know, you can instantly create downloads. So having your work pirated is a risk. However, again, that, to my thing, that's not all that different from traditional publishing. I found just this past week a Reuters story about books being pirated and published on the internet, and these are not electronic books. These are books that have been scanned in one way or another and are being distributed. Harry Potter books appear to be very popular. So, you know, there is a risk there, but I'm not convinced the risk is a whole lot higher than it is in any publishing, and I think we'll probably get back to some of that in a little while. Some of the other risks are you'll end up spending more on promotion than you'll make on your books. You won't sell anything, and you'll get depressed about it. You'll get looked down on the organizations such as CIFWA, which doesn't consider you published, or romance writers won't consider you published. Mystery Writers of America is still somewhat ambivalent about it. DMCA, I'm sorry, is it? Because I
Digital
thought we would be coming
Millennium Copyright Act.
A very controversial piece of legislation, and I'm sure we'll be coming back to it. And your friends and relatives will ask you, when are you going to publish a real book? I guarantee they will ask you that. Of course, after I published a couple of romance novels, my friends and relatives asked, when are you going to publish a real book? You can't win. Okay, other people will tell you, I never read anything off a computer screen. Okay, at book signings, people will ignore you because they're not interested in software, don't understand the concept, or it's not, quote, a real book. Okay, now, to counterbalance that, the potential rewards are, A, you are published. Your book is out there. It's available to the public. Some people will actually read it and buy it. Some of your relatives and friends will think you're very clever, and you'll actually end up with a few people who will buy your book and will really enjoy it, and they will tell you so. Okay, you can get reviews, you can get comments, you can enter some author contests. Okay, electronic publishing. Why did I choose, after having several books print published, why did I choose to publish some of my books electronically? And here are the quick reasons. I had several of those manuscripts that got the standard comments that we really like this, it's a well-written book, we enjoyed it, but it crosses genres, we can't buy that. Okay? I really felt like there was a market for these books, that there was a section of readers that would really enjoy them, but because it didn't have mass market appeal, they weren't going to sell. Also, we're entering a new age. I truly believe that electronic publishing is going to revolutionize how the publishing industry works. Not tomorrow, not next year, but over the next 20 years. And I also think that's true across all sorts of media content delivery systems, not just books. Music, video, all of that is going to seriously change the way content is distributed. And I want to be part of that. I also see it as a step toward building a career as an author, because I am getting my books out there. They are being read by some people who are interested in the type of stuff I write. Okay? Are e-books the future of publishing? That's a whole other question. My answer is yes and no. How's that for covering all the bases? I believe, yes, it is, but I don't believe it's the whole story. I don't believe print publishing is going away. I don't believe digital content delivery is going away. I think there's a place for both of them in our future. I do anticipate a radical change, as I've said, and there are a lot of issues involving that remain unsolved as yet. And this is, to me, one of the real reasons for electronic publishing, as particularly for writers who are either trying to jumpstart a career or who write things that are not in the niches that print publishers are looking for. And this book is a book that was electronically published last year by a company called Dreams Unlimited, which is no longer in business. It has been picked up by a print publisher and will be out next fall 2002. So for me, that is one of the reasons that I believe in electronic publishing. I think it has a place. That said, that finishes my presentation, and I think Anne and Cloud, if you'd like to take your turns.
You first.
Go ahead.
Sure. No, you first.
You have.
Okay. We'll get to the e-pass later. Okay, well, thanks for the overview of the e-book publishing. To give a little perspective from the publisher end, first of all, because we're not an ebook publisher only, so ebook publishing is really an extension of what we do. I mean, we are primarily a paper-based publisher and also a worldwide publisher. I mean, we are in 47 countries, so that covers a lot of ground. I was trying to figure out what to talk about. I mean, I think most interesting really in the Q&A section, just to answer much question you had, this is such a big topic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to ebook conferences that went on for a week, you know, with over 200 panels. In short, a couple quick things. One I thought would be interesting to just give you an idea how we see e-publishing, how does it fit into our business model, and B, to give you a couple quick examples of what some of the stuff come out. So before I tell you how to fit into our Delray Ballantyne Random House's publishing model, first, I'll give you very quickly my personal opinion about ebooks. I think I share the view exactly. I'm very excited. I think e-publishing is I've been publishing for a long time. I have not seen anything new in publishing since 1950s when paperbacks were invented. This is new. Is this the future? Who knows? Is it something new? Yes. Is it exciting? Yes. My other personal opinion is that I think e-publishing is a very good alternative. What I mean alternative is that a lot of time I would talk to people and say, well, I never want to read an ebook. So the answer, well, then don't. It's okay. You know, no one says you have to. This is simply a choice. I'll give you two very quick examples and I'll move on. One is the way that I explain the model is that there are many, going forward, there will be many different ways to read a book. First, let me give you an example. I'll explain it by explaining how movies work. When a studio invests money, produces a movie, you can see it in a theater, you can see it on TV, you can see it on cable, VHS, DVD, pay-per-view, in an airplane, in a hotel, and so on and so forth. You get the point. And book publishing has a similar model. You can buy it in hardcover, mass market paperback, and audio, and CD, large print, Braille, no difference. And to me, ebook fits that model. It's just another way to enjoy a book. Doesn't mean you have to. It's your choice. A second quick example is a personal example. Recently, I was actually going to a conference up in Boston. I live in New York, so I was taking the train, and I brought a paper book with me to read, except I couldn't read it because the light was broken. On my seat, I literally could not read the book because it was completely dark. Handy dandy, pulls out my ebook, and I was able to read actually with Skies of Pern by Anne McCaffrey. I was able to read Skies of Pern on this 5-hour train ride. Just a perfect example to me that it was not about choosing the ebook over the paper version. It was a particular place where I couldn't read the paper book because there was no light in my seat. Those are two very quick personal examples. I want to let you know where I stand personally. From a company standpoint, we see ebooks two ways. Financially, we do not see this to bring any kind of financial reward to our publishing program. for probably at least another 2 to 3 years. We really see it as an investment in R&D, an investment both in the primarily both investing in new channels, but also to be involved in what possibly could grow into a market, because the market really does not exist right now. I mean, Stephen King is anonymizing a lot of points, but a typical ebook, a bestseller ebook, maybe 500 copies. That's how, at least our experience. There's one that sold a lot better, but there's also ebook that sold 3 copies. So financially, we don't see it come to fruition for several years, but we know that, and that's okay with us. We see it as an investment in the future. The second part is marketing. The reason I said marketing, because the ebook publishing market does have a lot of major players involved. I'll just name quite a few, you know, Microsoft, Yahoo, Lycos, Pepsi, Jamstar, Adobe. A lot of people are very involved, and these companies are throwing millions and millions of dollars into building infrastructure because they believe in e-publishing, and by working with them, we are getting essentially millions of dollars of free marketing. I'll give you quite one quick example about what I mean by that. When we published Skies of Pern by Anne McCaffrey as a hardcover, $25, as an ebook as well, we did a 1 month special promotion with Palm Pilots, and they featured the ebook on the front page of, you know, Skies of Pern. We did special pricing with them at $9.95, and then there was a sweepstakes, the drawing, and you can win a free Palm Pilot, a free M505 preloaded with copies of Skies of Pern. You know, cool stuff. And it was one of their best-selling titles that month. They sold 493 copies. You know, very exciting for them. I mean, for us, you know, I mean, I don't get out of bed for less than 100,000 copies. But what was interesting is during the whole month, while the whole Palm Pilot promotion was going on, our hard copy of Skies of Pern was actually sales was up 50% from her previous Pern book. And what was interesting, you say, well, everything else being equal, you know, the book is good, but it's no better or worse than the previous book. We figured out we probably got about 7 million impressions from the Palm Pilot promotion. That stuff, you're just working on a marketing budget of a publisher. We can't afford that. We couldn't have paid for that. But by working with an ebook, we got that marketing. And later on, if it comes up, I'll give you some other example. We have a lot of promotions coming in the next 3 months with people like Yahoo and Lycos. Again, those are promotion equivalent of millions of dollars. That's all free. So that's kind of how the publishers, that's how they fit in with us. The last thing is, I think this is a question a lot of people ask, so I'll go ahead and address it right now, which is how do we choose which book to publish as an e-book, which one not to? The first answer is very simple. We do not have e-book rights on every single book. So the ones we don't. So that's very simple. But secondly, how do we choose? Eventually, hopefully, you'll be every single book. We actually can't do that right now because we don't have the resources. And one of the interesting, another discussion I have a lot of people asking about ebook is that, well, there's no paper, there's no distribution, no warehouse. It should be easy and very cheap. Having been doing it for 2 years, I can tell you that it's not true on any of our three counts. It's hard to explain in short quick sentences why it's not cheap and it's not easy. The example I'll give is, assume everyone's familiar with Amazon.com, the retailer. You all hear about in the media how they lose hundreds of million dollars every quarter. Well, for those of you who don't remember when they started 5 years ago, one reason they were such a darling of Wall Street because the whole concept was, wow, buy books online. No warehouse, no major, this will be cheap and easy. And guess what? It was not true. They found out that in order to build a successful infrastructure and the customer service, just to do retail online, they needed to invest billions of dollars. And we're finding out the same thing, that to build an infrastructure that actually works and handle the marketing of ebooks, Random House is also investing millions and millions of dollars. And it turned out to be very expensive and very time-consuming and takes a lot of people. Not to mention it's a new technology that changes almost every week. So it's almost like whatever we learned last week has changed already. So that's one reason that we have not been publishing too many ebooks. We've done 47 titles in 2 years. That's very little. But our goal, hopefully by summer about 2002, is to eventually publish every new book as an ebook that we have rights to. So I hope that sort of gave a quick overview of our published program, how we fit in, and we'll see where the discussion takes us.
uh, Well, I guess I kind of feel like the leper at the party here, because I have been looking at e-publishing with a very jaundiced eye, including print-on-demand, because of my work with SFWA's Writing Scams Committee and my work with SFWA's Electronic Piracy Committee. My impression of e-publishing at this point is that it makes the pirates' work much easier, and that basically it, from a point of view as an author who's had 3 books pirated and expects to have more pirated, it makes me angry. I don't like people stealing my stuff. I realize that in the long run, it probably isn't affecting my revenues all that much, but I did notice a $500 drop in royalties paid to me by Bantam right after my books appeared online as pirated books. Whether there was any relationship, I don't know, but I'd had, you know, several royalty checks that were about the same, and then all of a sudden there was a big dip. We'll see whether next time it goes back up or whether it stays at a lower level, and I don't know whether, you know, that's just books naturally do decline in sales as they get older. It may be that it was just that time. It also, you know, happened right after it, too, so who knows? I don't know. And the other thing that's occurred to me is that there's an awful lot of scams connected with electronic publishing. Obviously not by Del Rey. Obviously not by, you know, Bantam or Berkeley or Harper or any of the publishers that are starting new programs. I'm talking about the big publishers, the real publishers. But Spirit Virtual will charge you $1,000 to put your book, your slush pile crummy book, on their website, and where, you know, nobody will download it. And if, trust me, I was thinking about going over there and getting something to use as a terrible example for my writer's workshop. I didn't. But I could have. David Hartwell, who's a well-known editor in New York, commented that the main thing that electronic publishing has accomplished is to bring to the general public the joys of the slush pile. And he's probably right. There's an awful lot of crap on electronic publishing. Finding the good stuff amidst that is challenging to the people, and the best way to do that is to look for reputable names like the Del Rey books. I mean, if you see an e-published book by Anne McCaffrey, you know it's going to be a readable book, but it's not the way for a new author, and I'm talking about somebody who's never been print published, to break in and really build a readership. MJ Rose is mentioned by everybody because she's the equivalent of the Celestine Prophecy, all right? Everybody can mention one or two names of self-published or vanity published books that got, you know, famous. But, I mean, compared to the number of self-published or vanity published books that, you know, made their owners a lot of money, or made their writers a lot of money, or garnered them a great deal of respect, and major big publishing contracts with big publishers, many more people win the lottery than do that. All right, there's somebody wins the lottery almost every day here in this country. I've now named like 8 people or 8 books that have made it big that were either vanity published, self-published, print on demand, or electronic publish. So, you know, the odds are very much against you. I'm not saying don't do it, but I am saying that if you want recognition as a writer and the chance to earn real money, print publishing is still your best bet. My standard is, can you earn the price of a lobster dinner for 2 e-publishing? And the answer is, for most fiction, you certainly cannot. I know one woman that did a little sideline for an article I did for the SFWA Bulletin, and she was a bestseller on hardshell, 1/4, or 1/2 of a quarter, or whatever, and she earned. We paid her $35 for her sidebar, okay, at 7 cents a word, or. On the Simple Bulletin, that was more than she earned for her book, and it was a bestseller. Okay, so the money amounts are small. I'm not saying it's going to be that way forever, but at the moment, nobody is waving anything at me that would entice me to deliberately put my books where they would be easy to pirate. They've already been pirated. They're being scanned in. I don't want to make that job any easier. So I'm just, you know, the leper at the picnic here.
Okay. Questions? Yeah, I think this gentleman. Do we have the microphone? Oh, I'm sorry. You go. We'll get to you.
Anne, when you talk about the scams that you were mentioning, is the scam that you give these people $1,000 with the assumption that they're going to publish your book and you're going to become rich? Are they misrepresenting the activities that they're actually going to do? Are they not paying people? Where's the scam?
Well, the scam...
It sounds like no more of a gamble than going to a publisher, and the publisher's saying, yeah, we'll give you
Wait a minute. Send your book off to Del Rey, you don't pay them a dime. They pay you. All right? So there are legitimate e-publishers.
Yes, there are.
For example, like Hard Shell and, and all
fiction
that...
Fiction-wise,
some of those places. Right. And you don't pay them a dime. They pay you.
Are these people doing something illegal?
Spirit Virtual? No, they're just taking the advantage of the gullible.
I didn't know if these people were criminals or just bad business people who are trying to rip people off.
Vanity publishers.
They're electronic vanity publishers.
Okay. Okay.
And they're not doing anything illegal. They're just doing something that takes advantage of people being very stupid and desperate.
But there are a number of legitimate purely electronic publishers like Hard Shell, LTD Books.
There's Buy Books on the web. They'll charge you $400 and put anything up.
Right. But there are some that do not ask you to pay a dime, and they do publish your book. And I have to say, I may be one of the exceptions to the rule, but I have made several lobster dinners at least on my electronic books. I would also say that although my first royalty statement for my first electronically published book barely covered a dinner at McDonald's, in the 2 years that I've been electronically published, every quarter my royalties have doubled or more. So one of the other advantages is your books stay out there. They can stay online and available, and you do gain momentum as you go along. Okay, next question. I think this, can you get this gentleman over here? He had raised his hand earlier.
In discussing e-publishing, let's get some sense of the field here. I mean, how many organizations are we talking about presently, and how many of them have some sort of editorial review process? As an editor for University Press about an hour south of here, you know, I'm pretty openly contemptuous of any sort of organization that lacks some critical review process to determine what should and should not make it. So what are the numbers here in terms of overall organizations, and what are the percentages of...
I'm not even sure about the numbers. There are a lot of them, I'll tell you that. And there's a wide range from Del Rey, the major publishers programs, down through independent electronic publishers. A lot of the legitimate electronic publishers like Hard Shell do have a review process. I read an article done by an e-published writer who had surveyed a number of the strictly royalty-paying, non-subsidy electronic publishers, and they averaged an acceptance rate of between 5 and 10%. So they do have a critical review process. They do edit the books. And then, of course, you know, you've always got the, you know, the subsidy publishers who are ready to take advantage, who in general don't edit, have no critical review process. So there's a wide gamut. I'd venture to say that probably the bottom feeders are the most numerous at this point.
A second question I have for you regards e-piracy and what steps are being made, at least digitally in other forums, to help combat e-piracy.
Do you want to take that? It's a big issue. We touched on the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which actually was passed in response to music piracy, but also applies to e-publishing. Electronic publishers are trying a number of things, and the answer is not out there yet or not really obvious. Encryption methods. Microsoft, with their PC Reader software, is trying a significant encryption method. Others have tried, locked PDF files. as I say, the real answer has not been found. Really, at this point, there is not a good answer technically to that.
Let me tell you that insofar as piracy is concerned, you know that song about you always hurt the one you love? Well, science fiction fans and fantasy fans are hurting the authors they love, because science fiction and fantasy is the fiction that is pirated more often than anything else. They also pirate computer books, and there's quite a bit of that kind of piracy going on, but Seth was not concerned with that. Seth was concerned with the fact that, you know, 3 weeks after it came out, the Goblet of Fire was loose everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we informed Scholastic the minute it came out. Everything Anne McCaffrey ever wrote is out there. Everything Roger Zelazny ever wrote is out there. Everything Arthur Clarke wrote is out there. Asimov, pretty much so, too. Ginny Heinlein is very upset about the fact that all of Robert's works have been pirated. It is not a huge problem for anybody who isn't a major name. I've only had 3 books published. I'm not a major name. So 3 books pirated, and I'm not a major name. That's fine. But John Varley's stuff is starting to appear. So you have a top tier of your Asimovs and your Heinleins and your Clarks and, you know, Zelaznys and those people. And then you have a lesser tier, and it's starting to creep down into that. And then you also have your Goblet of Fire and things that are sort of related. And not much in the way of romance is getting pirated. So RWA is not very...
Actually, that's not true. They are.
Well, they are. It's starting to appear more. Because RWA wasn't terribly concerned when we told them about this. Not too much in the way of mystery was getting pirated, although it's growing. Tom Clancy is starting to hit out there. Okay? John Grisham is starting to hit out there. So if you are a big-name author, one of your rewards for bestsellerdom is piracy.
Okay. I'd like to just... This is sort of a reverse view of this that I think is interesting. Bayon Books, who publishes some very big name authors, when they published one of Lois McMaster Bajold's books, I can't remember what the title of it was, one of her more recent ones, was released electronically at the same time as the book was published in hardcover. They gave away the electronic version, and when they did, sales of the book soared. You know, draw your own conclusions from that, but it did. They firmly believe that actually giving away the electronic version will induce people to buy the print versions.
I don't know about that. It's interesting. One of the things that I've observed in dealing with the pirates and realizing, you know, how they think is that there are an awful lot of people who pirate books. And they don't bother to read them. They simply pirate as much as possible in order, and then they treat it like trading cards. They, you know, I'll trade you 3 Asimovs for 1 Heinlein, you know, and they've never read Asimov, and they have no intention of reading Heinlein either. They just want things with greater trading power. I don't know what to say. That's a different mindset than I can understand, really.
Is that money out of the author's pocket?
Well, in some cases, if people ever read them, you know, one can presume that one's losing some sales. I mean, I don't know. And the thing is that the whole subject is so new. I propose that SFWA sponsor an electronic piracy conference in which editors and agents and writers and computer people could all get together and compare notes and lawyers and try to figure out what to do about the whole thing.
Idea.
But the separate president didn't agree with it.
If I can make a point, y'all were talking about the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. I don't know how many of you are familiar. This week in a Los Angeles courtroom, the U.S. attorney indicted a Russian citizen on 5 counts of basically e-piracy, 4 counts of trafficking, 1 count of conspiracy, because he wrote a program that will break the Adobe Acrobat program and let you e-pirate a book. Now, they said it probably will not go to court since he'll go home. It's not illegal in Russia, but it is illegal in the U.S., so if you're caught in the U.S. now e-pirating, you're facing a minimum of 5 years in a federal prison plus a minimum of a $500,000 fine per act.
Harlan Ellison collected $4,000 in damages from a guy named Stephen Robertson of Red Bluff, California, in his case, but he didn't stop with the one pirate. He went after the purveyors, the companies that carried it and let it stay up even after they were informed that copyright infringement had occurred. And that case is ongoing. No, we're talking about a kid with a scanner, but we're also talking about it being carried on a service like Remark, for example, and them seeing it there and going, oh, who cares? It's not our concern. The Russians have multiple FTP places out of the University of Moscow where it's a treasure trove of hundreds and hundreds of books, including things by J.D. Salinger, and you know, they're still under copyright. But we're talking about authors from all over the world, including an awful lot of public domain stuff, but not limited to that. And these FTP points in Russia are they do nothing about them. And if you complain at the University of Moscow, maybe they'll come down and maybe they'll stay down for a few days and some other place will put them back up. And it's all over, you know, those countries, Russia and the Ukraine and all those places.
Actually, I was going to ask where you generally found them. I don't usually see this sort of thing on websites. I was wondering if it was generally on news groups, FTP, or what? News groups primarily?
Yeah, there are several news groups devoted to exchanging e-books.
I mean, is there any attempt to hide them in any way, or are they just out there?
No.
How would you access it? I mean, we just type in through a search engine? I just want to know where to find
them. The biggest group that I know of is All Binaries e-book.
I simply want to know how to find them to see where they're at. That's all I want.
All Binaries
e-books.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Speaking of alt.binaries.ebook, we've been publishing science fiction and fantasy role-playing games for 21 years now. And this has recently, they've started putting every RPG ever made, the RPG version. And my question is, why is it it can't be traced back to anybody to get these wonderful news groups taken down? I've had my attorney looking into this. I have chased people around. See, I'm lucky. Since we've been in publishing for so long, if you play nice and ask them real nice, a lot of times you can convince them to take it down or stop. But there's a lot of small RPG companies that aren't making any money at all that 2 days after something they publish hits a market, it's online, and they're going broke.
Have you heard about the, what is it called, the pattern pansies or something, the little old ladies group, and they mm-hmm. they steal, they scan in, you know, cross stitch patterns
right.
mm-hmm. for embroidery, mm-hmm. and they swap them back and forth, and these companies are going out of business, the ones that used to sell
right.
these counted cross stitch patterns because of the pattern grannies or whatever they call themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not joking about that. They have a company going out of business because of this, sure. this kind of trading on the internet. People are scanning them in. You got these
yeah.
little old ladies doing it.
Well, what I'm wondering is why Hasbro hasn't jumped all over these guys, because Hasbro's WotC division is having everything they're publishing pirated, and they don't care. They're just letting it go.
Well, I think there's a tradition in computer circles that there's nothing you can do about software piracy, and there's probably nothing you can do about book piracy either. And unfortunately, it may be true. I do know yes. that we had some computer experts working with SFWA in the committee I set together, and the really dedicated pirates are very clever. They're very angry. They're very grumpy. I suspect some of them are failed writers themselves, so they want to hurt writers. I'm not joking either. They're fairly articulate, too. And they scan these books. Their motto is, excuse my German, fuck copyright. All right? That's what they'll tell you right out there. They say trying to take their rights away from them is censorship. Of course, this is, you know, I'm sorry. You know, information wants to be free. True. But entertainment wants to be paid,
right?
And that is yeah. my watchword on this. Now, I'm also telling you that these people sign on under fake names, mm-hmm. and you have
right.
to trace, and then you end up on a dead end with a stolen credit card or a fake credit card. And it goes back to that over and over again. There's a guy named Citizen 513 that CIFWA has been tracking for over a year. And Citizen 513 steals freely. For a while, we thought we had him cornered in Australia. Now we're not sure. He may be in America after all. Okay? So we're talking about a very clever, clever hacker-type person. Right. And he's responsible for dozens of these scanned books, dozens and dozens.
There's also a considerable tension between the technology people and the content providers, because a lot of the technology people will tell you that we can't be responsible for everything, you know, that is posted, you know, on our site, and that there is they have some legitimate points about how much they can do in terms of barring free speech, you know, balancing free speech with, you know, putting no, agreed. I'm not saying it is. However, their point is they can't necessarily be traffic cops for everything going through. Now, that said, I think that a lot of, I'm aware of several copyright infringements that have happened with my day job, and every time our lawyer has written to a service provider that was posting copyrighted material, it was taken down. So when they can, when they find out about it, they generally will take it off.
Okay. First, I have a comment, then a question, especially for publisher. The comment is basically anyone is actually going to purchase or get e-piracy. They do not have a love for books. For me, I want to look at the book, lay down next to it, hug it, become one with it, go back, discuss it. Like my sister and I, friends, we'll go through a book. Did you read that? No, I go back and read that page. Things like that. And that's, you know, ever since I was little, just a love for books. And that just has to be instilled in you. But the question I have, because I am a webmaster, I love technology as much as I hate it. I always tell people, never trust a computer, okay? Do you think there will maybe some type of software to eventually come where if I wanted an e-book where I'm putting in my credit card or something, being your honest customer, and if I download it, I could download it into my Quark Express program, take it to my printer and just self-publish it because I have that cover art, all of that. Therefore, on your end, you don't have to worry about print or the cover I'm choosing, if it's hardback or softback, because that's going to happen on my end. Is Valentine looking into that?
If the question is that, are we looking into the, you know, a publishing format where you can basically download Quark files and any other files and essentially have it printed? That's available now. I mean, there's a company. There's a company called Digital Owl, and they have a deal with Kinko's. They don't do books, but they publish a number of articles and essays and so on. So once you have purchased it online from their website, you can have it printed at a local Kinko's because they have a partnership with Kinko's. A lot of, you know, what she was saying, a lot of this technology has been around forever. The question is that, you know, A, if there is no standard. So like, remember the old debate between VHS and Beta? We're not even there. There's like hundreds of different ways to do this, and eventually it's going to trim down to a variety of ways. But hopefully, but I think one of the things technology provides that you'll provide whatever way you want it. You want to read it on a Palm Pilot, fine. Read it on the computer, fine. Read it on paper, fine. You know, virtual reality someday, fine. Eat it so you can read the book. That's fine. No, that's a short story. That's a short story from Ray Bradbury a long time ago. You know, with the stories on a toast. As far as are we looking to stuff like that? Yeah, we get pitched new technology to publish every single week. So people come and pitch us, and we're also we are a founding partner that we fund the MIT. I forgot which division at MIT. I think. Media Lab that Random House is actually providing funding for them to develop new ways of publishing books, because the way we see it, we're not necessarily in the paper business, we're in the content business. I mean, books have evolved, you know, from stone tablets to paper and God knows what else next, and we want to be in the content business. So I know that's a very long answer, but yes, we, you know, that technology what you're talking about already exists, and we're always looking at new stuff all the time, so...
I am not a content provider. I am a writer. Excuse me. Yeah, I just want to make that perfectly clear.
Quick extension on that. One of my theory is that one thing that's going to evolve is that a lot of people are going to end up buying a lot of electronic books and choosing to either somehow either print out or purchase paper versions of the ones they like that they want for their keeper shelf.
Yeah, just one quick thought. I just got an email yesterday from a fan who sent us an email. The way he does it is he likes to read e-books, but then he buys the paper version to keep. That's how he does it. That's, you know, that's his way. That's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody else will do it some other way. So,
I'd like to clarify a point made by another audience member earlier. The situation of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the gentleman that was arrested and is charged has not been charged with copyright violation. He's been charged with producing a tool that one of its many possible functions could be used to perpetrate copyright violations. There's going to be several discussions about the Digital Millennium Copyright Act this weekend in this room, and I invite everybody to come and talk about it.
Okay. I'm going to WorldCon, so I won't be here, but there will be another panel that I've just been signaled we're about out of time, by the way, by the convention watchdogs.
People.
The person who's supposed to keep track of these things. And so there will be a panel of this sort on WorldCon too. So, you know, I'm out of here. I'm heading for Philadelphia. I can't get enough of this kind of a panel. Anyway, well, it was fun, and thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Take care. I got to go.
For any of you who are interested, I've put together a handout that has a bunch of links for online information about electronic publishing. Feel free to come up and take some.
Yeah, free for any more questions. I know people, we didn't get to some of the questions. Come talk to me. I have some e-books here with me. You want to see them? You've never seen them before, so...
We're a long way from having all those issues settled.
He did very, very well. He did very, very well. Thank you. Yeah, there's another one coming probably in November. We haven't announced it yet.
There's an awful lot of issues, and a huge number of issues yet to be resolved, and we're going to have to deal with them because electronic publishing is only a small part of the whole digital content.
Can't tell you that, but you sold a lot.
You know,
I think you're on the front.
You sold a lot. No, it's on the side.
It's on the side, too?
Yeah. It's on the side. Oh, wait, maybe it's on the front. Sorry. For some reason, I thought I have the visor. All right. Yeah. You want mine? Or do you have it?
Yeah, and there's no market for them.
Well, now you don't need the card anymore.
Well, no, to be...